Bible prophesied of a unique time on earth. Israel would be returned to her land, the church would turn to false doctrines, technology would increase, and wickedness and immorality would run rampant. The time spoken of so long ago has come. Join Charlie Garrett as he breaks down these events for us as they unfold each week.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to open in prayer today. Heavenly Father, here we are in your presence, and we are certainly thankful for being able to come together and to worship you and to praise you and to just give you the glory that you're due. And before we start into our prophecy update today, I would like to raise up our president. I'd like to ask you to be with him, be a real presence in his life. Help him to make right decisions concerning all the matters which he is being hemmed in with, and to be able to withstand the fierce attacks that are coming against him, and which are seemingly wholly unfounded. And Lord, we do support him at this time. We ask that you would just once again be with him and guide him and help him to make right decisions, especially about his upcoming time in Israel and after he departs from there, that he will be faithful to our alliance with Israel, and just that you would be glorified through what we do in his presidency and as a nation towards them. Lord, we love you, we praise you, we exalt you, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. So it is Sunday the 21st of May. It's time for the prophecy update of the week. And I have a request from the web guy, website guy. He said that all of the sermons are on audio MP3 files, which I've told you before, and he's considering setting them up on iTunes, okay? And he asked, can we have any idea of how many of you actually are using the audio files? And if you do, he would like you to email the contact page on the website and let us know, and that way he can decide whether he's going to go with iTunes or if he's not going to do that. And he said, at the present time, we're uploading new sermons, Bible studies, and prophecy updates each week. And you can find them on the website under sermons and then podcast files. And if you cannot watch the Bible studies or sermons, he says, just download them and put them on audio, burn them to a CD or whatever, and play them in your car. Or he says you can play them on your smartphone, too, which I wouldn't know anything about that, but he says you can do it. And he says, as always, the audio files are free to use to spread the gospel to all. And I'll go beyond that. Everything that we have on our website, everything that we have on YouTube, or you can copy. Our copyright at the Superior Word is that you have a right to copy. Take it, use it, pass it on. We're not interested in profiting off of these things at all. Anything on the website, either of my websites, you can copy and you can use. I have no problem with that. A couple people that I'd like to highlight this week, as I always do. These are Rob and Lou, and they're in Eureka, California. They said they've been married 13 years, and both of them came to the Lord in 2010 when God brought them to the end of themselves and almost the end of their marriage. They had to be broken upon the rock of Christ before being ready for the passion that God gave them for teen ministry and discipleship. They serve as youth leaders and teachers at Blue Lake Community Church, which is out there in California, and they also spearhead a local homeless lunch ministry and youth outreach events. And in 2016, God called them to a new ministry, which is Salt and Light. She calls it SNL. SNL engages biblical citizenships through PETER, prayer, education, taking action, elections, and restoration. She says that SNL affiliates are in almost all states, and Rob and Lou encourage all to support or start an SNL in a church to make a difference in their own walk with Christ. And then she gives their website. If you're interested in going to that, it's saltandlightcouncil.org. And so all the way from Sarasota, Florida to Eureka, California, we send you our love today. And our first category, as always, is Israel. From the Times of Israel, a couple articles that don't seem to make any sense, but I have no problem with them. The first one is, as I said, the Times of Israel. German Jews fear growing Muslim anti-Semitism. So this is German Jews. They're fearing anti-Muslim or Muslim anti-Semitism. Jews in Germany say they feel a growing threat of anti-Semitism, especially from Muslims, but also from xenophobic far-right groups parliamentary report said, they are increasingly concerned for their safety due to everyday experiences of anti-Semitism, said the Independent Experts Group on Anti-Semitism. Again, from the Times of Israel, this one does not break my heart at all. You'll know why when I give you my thoughts on it afterward. German officials, these are officials in Germany, increase in U.S. Jews seeking citizenship since the election. Okay, people in America that want to become German citizens and move to Germany, which seems like a contradiction from what you've just read. But the point is that they would rather be in Germany with that than be here under Trump. And so I'll give you my thought on that right now instead of after reading the article, is that means they're liberals and they can go. I have no problem with that at all. Goodbye. Yes. Since the election of President Trump, increasing numbers of Jews whose parents and grandparents fled from Nazi Germany to the U.S. have applied for German citizenship. Consulates in New York and Boston have seen a rise in the number of people seeking to reclaim their ancestors' German citizenship. We can confirm that there has been a precipitable increase in the number of people claiming German citizenship under Article 116, Paragraph 2 of the German Basic Law. Article 116 is intended mainly for Jews, socialists, and communists who fled Germany under the Nazis. So let's bring all of the rejects along with the – I'm not saying the Jews are rejects. I'm saying the commies and the whatever, they can come back under this right of return. But any liberals, put them in there too. Okay, let's see here. It says Article 116, I've said that it states that former German citizens who between January 30th of 1933 and May 8th of 1945 were deprived of their citizenship on political, racial, or religious grounds and their descendants shall, on application, have their citizenship restored. I never knew this. According to the German consulate in New York, between 50 and 70 people applied for citizenship each year in 2014 and 2015. In the month of November 2016 alone, there were 124 applications. So they are not happy about our current president. In March 2017, a total of 235 submitted the paperwork. So no problem. See you later. From Forward, just the title, New Zealand reaches out to restore ties with Israel. You know, at that UN vote we had about 3 months ago, Israel severed ties with them. It was uncalled for what they did. It was a very anti-Israel vote, and now they are seeking to restore ties with Israel. And we'll see how Israel responds. But, you know, I would put them on a short string after what they did. But we'll see how it goes. From the Jerusalem Post, Texas bank shuts out Israel haters. The governor, as we saw last week, signed the anti-BDS law. Good job, Governor Abbott. And then just this week, the giant Dallas-based Comerica announced that it will close a bank held by anti-Israel organization that promotes boycotting the Jewish state. Good job. The slated termination of the account for the International Association of Democrat Lawyers, which supports the BDS movement, of course they do, is believed to be the first anti-Israel bank account closed by a U.S. bank. I'm so happy that we're seeing this happen. Comerica's decision to sever its financial relationship with the association comes 3 days after Texas Governor Greg Abbott signed into law one of the country's strongest anti-BDS laws. The Texas legislation bars state contracts with companies that support BDS. You can always count on Texas, Abbott said. Any anti-Israel policy is an anti-Texas policy. Texas is not going to do business with any company that boycotts Israel. He issued his statements at a ceremony marking Israel's Independence Day that was held at the Jewish Community Center in Austin. Good job. All right, from Ynet, we have just the title again. Nasrallah, who's up in Lebanon, the Hezbollah guy. Nasrallah says, now, think of this from a biblical perspective. Gog, Magog, chapter 38, okay? Nasrallah says, Syrian government's allies, Moscow, Tehran, and Hezbollah are now in harmony more than ever. So it's like it's coming out of his mouth, and he's simply reading something right out of Ezekiel 38 from the Bible. It really is astonishing to see that these people don't realize that they're actually a part of something that the Lord has already told us was coming and what the inevitable outcome for these people is. That's what amazes me, is if they pick up the Bible, they would run from what they're doing instead of running into what they're doing. But, oh well. All right, and from the Jerusalem Post, Abbas, Moscow essential to resolving conflict. This is Abbas saying that they need Moscow to help resolve the conflict between the Fakistinians and the Israelis. Peace between Israel and the Fakistinians cannot be achieved without participation of Russia. Sounds just like you read in the Bible. Fakistinian Authority President Abbas said during a meeting with President Putin in the resort city Sochi, it's impossible to solve the Fakistinian issue without Russia's meaningful participation in the peace process. Abbas said that is what we have been emphasizing at all international meetings. Abbas, who visited the White House last week, arrived in Russia on Wednesday to meet with Putin and other officials. The Fakistinian leader also reiterated that he is willing to participate in a trilateral meeting with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Putin in Moscow. We are ready to accept this invitation at any time, Abbas said. Both Abbas and Netanyahu agreed in principle to a trilateral meeting in Moscow last year, but a date was never set. Putin said Russia and the Fakistinians have strong ties. And so we're going to see where that unfolds with what our current president is doing in Israel right now this week. But it is not to be discounted that Russia is a major player in this, that they made the proclamation about Jerusalem a couple weeks ago, and that they are the head of the alliance, which will eventually be coming against Israel, which is an astonishing thing to consider. So we have Christian news today. I entitled this section, Raising the Educational White Flag. But before we get into that, and I was not, before I hold this up, I was not asked to do this. I wouldn't do this if I was. When people ask me to promote something of theirs, I usually won't do it. But a friend of mine on Facebook, he has a music ministry, and I really like his music. It's kind of a Christian blues music. And I had Jim, who's not here today, but I had him listen to it because he's a music guy, and he actually bought it on iTunes. So I'm going to hold this up, and I'm going to say this is called The Holy Roller Woman. Okay, and it's a really good CD. I was listening to it last week, and then I got, this is a Saturday ago, I got turning into the projects, and there was a song playing that absolutely brought me to tears. So if you like Christian blues, this is the one. You can buy it right. I did. I went to Amazon. You can buy it there. I think it's $5 or $8 or something. I don't know. Or you can download it on iTunes. But just so you know, this is available, and he's a good friend of mine. I've known him for years, and anyway, so I just thought I'd give him a little plug on that. And like I said, he didn't ask me to do that. There is nothing I'm getting out of that. It's just that I like the music, and I'll be listening to it on the way home when I leave here today. So as I said, this is entitled Raising the Educational White Flag. From the Christian Post, Wesleyan University started out as a Christian university to spend $220,000 per year on queer transgender student center. Yep, Wesleyan University is in Connecticut. It's moving forward with plans to use university funds to create a resource center that will promote LGBT rights, among other social justice causes. Michael Roth, president of the private institution founded in 1831, and remember, it's named after John Wesley, updated the community college last month about the school's plans to open a multicultural resource center, which was demanded. I'm getting so tired of these. It's all over the news. These guys, they go in, they have their little sit-ins, they demand, and the college or university just folds over and says, we're going to do it. I tell them, you're expelled. They demanded by hundreds of students who campaigned for a number of changes to be made to address discrimination and lack of equity on campus. If that was ever a problem, it wasn't. All right. After an op-ed in the school newspaper that was critical of Black Lives Matter had upset some students, the proposal calls for the center to be split up into four different sub-centers. The four sub-centers will serve students of color, first-generation and low-income students, queer and trans students, and female-identifying students. The subcenter for queer and trans students would hold workshops designed to encourage activism and participation within the queer and trans community and its allies. So much for Christianity in that school. From Charisma, Billy Graham's Wheaton College. Okay, this is where Billy Graham was, waves the gay flag. The flag, which has been placed among a display of international flags that hang throughout the dining hall, was immediately removed from the display when somebody posted it and said, look at what they're doing there. There's no word on how long the flag had been posted, but the mom who contacted me, this is the guy writing the article, and students who believe in traditional values are afraid to speak out. They're getting bullied just like they are everywhere else, lest they offend activists.
The real important issue is the subtle and not so subtle silencing of those who believe in the objective truths of God's Word. When the flagship school of evangelicalism sends the message that to do so is hateful or unkind, we are in deep trouble. And it says, and we are. And just so you know, they said, well, we didn't know the flag was up there. Guess what? It's in a line of international flags or national flags, and it was the same size as all of them. It was on the same pole. This was done by the university. They're afraid to admit it now that they've gotten caught, but they did that on purpose. So we know where Wheaton is heading. Fox News, Bible Club, shut down by Tennessee grade school. Since last fall, first and second graders at Alturia Elementary School have gathered before the school day to read Bible stories under the watchful eyes of teachers. But that all changed when the school district capitulated to a bunch of militant atheists and agnostics and abruptly shut down the Bible Club. Anybody guess who it is? The FFRF, the same people that do this every time. They believe the Bible Club is a violation of the Establishment Clause, and they fired off a threatening letter to the school district. So there you go with that. From Christian Institute, Harvard accused of bid to airbrush out its own Christian heritage. If you know Harvard, all of the Ivy League schools were started as evangelical seminaries here in the New World in order to promote the gospel of Jesus Christ, to develop people that could go out into this new world as pastors, preachers, and missionaries, and to send missionaries from this new country around the world. And now they've got this kind of nonsense. It says prestigious, no longer prestigious American university, Harvard, is considering removing a line from its ceremonial song, which references its Christian heritage. A Harvard professor claims the lyric could be racist, but a UK academic has described the proposal as morally disoriented. Fair Harvard is the name of the song, is sung when students begin at the university and when they graduate. Let not moss covered error moor thee at its side. As the world on truth's current glides by, be the herald of light and the bearer of love till the stock of the Puritans die. And they say the word Puritans is racist, and so they want that struck out of there. So they're considering it, and they ought to just close that down completely. From Christian News, Kentucky governor, this is back in April, but it fits in with the category. It's a good one. Christian Kentucky governor signs bill authorizing elective social studies courses on the Bible. Good job. The Republican governor of Kentucky has signed a bill that authorizes the creation of elective social studies courses on the Bible in public schools. House Bill 128 overwhelmingly passed the state Senate last month, 34-4. They ought to expel the other four, but whatever. After clearing the House, 80-14, you know, they're all on the left that voted against it. It would serve historical purposes rather than provide religious instruction, and districts would be required to stay neutral on Christianity. You get this into people's hands, they read this, and it can have an effect on their life. Even if you're neutral on Christianity, everything in this book points to Jesus Christ. So eventually, eyes will be open. Good job. From Islam, did anybody notice our president not bowing to the... of course, the liberals made a big deal of him going down low when the of Saudi Arabia had to put that gold chain on his neck. Well, Trump is, what, 12 feet tall compared to this old guy that's humped over? And if he didn't go down, he'd be like straining himself and probably have a coronary. So it wasn't anything. It was just simply Trump being gracious enough to get down low enough for the guy to put this thing on him, and which I won't say what I'd do with it when I got back here. But anyway, you've got a certain protocol as a president of the United States, and it is not to bow to foreign leaders. So good job there. From Voice of America, let's see, Mathis, confident in advancing U.S.-Egypt military relationship. Now, remember, Egypt is not recorded as being in Gog-Magog coming against Israel. All right. And here we are making this alliance with them. Israel's been making alliances with them. What Trump is doing right now in the Middle East is having a great effect on these alliances, which are or not mentioned in this Ezekiel 38. So you can just see how close we are to the gathering of the nations, and hopefully that means that we'll be out of here really soon too. But anyway, U.S. Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis says that he and his Egyptian counterpart have agreed on the need for a renewed and strong security partnership between the two nations, which our previous president completely destroyed with the Muslim Brotherhood, who are now in jail, but as Egypt grapples with a rising extremist threat. From Reuters, this is earlier in the week, and I have some good news at the end of the article for you. U.S. nears a $100 billion arms deal for Saudi Arabia. Why are they doing this? People say, well, they're a terrible nation, and they cut off people's heads, and they, you know, listen, they are going up against Iran, which our previous president completely gave the farm away to. They've got nuclear abilities. They're continuing to grow in their nuclear abilities. They're developing, intercontinental ballistic missiles under the guise of sending satellites up into space. They're progressing in these things. If we don't help out Saudi Arabia, then it would be a disaster. But guess what? Iran is coming against Israel in Ezekiel 38, and Saudi Arabia is not. So once again, we see how things are lining up. It says here, White House official, the U.S. is close to completing a series of arms deals for Saudi Arabia totaling more than $100 billion. A senior White House official said ahead of President Trump's planned visit to Riyadh. The official who spoke to Reuters on condition of anonymity said the arms package could end up surpassing more than $300 billion. Over a decade to help Saudi Arabia boost its defense capabilities while still maintaining U.S. ally Israel's qualitative military edge over its neighbors. It was finalized. He was over there. They finalized this deal while he was in Saudi Arabia. It is $350 billion. And yes, we got $100 billion out of him right away. So he's doing a great job. He is undoing what our previous crummy president did. It's really good to see. From Newsmax, Pentagon. U.S. approves sale of $2 billion in missiles to the United Arab Emirates. Once again, a Sunni Muslim state, which is going to be not coming against Israel during this, and it's because of our alliances with them right here being worked out right now by our president. The UAE government has requested the possible sale of 60 Patriot missiles with canisters and 100 Patriot guidance-enhanced missiles, among other military equipment, according to DOD statement. Patriot missiles are defensive. They are not offensive. They are scared to death of Iran. And that is why this is going on. We are making the right alliances. We're doing what the Bible said would occur. It's all coming out as it should. Okay, Weasel Zippers from New York. It says the New York City bomber claims cops shot him too many times. He wants a reduced sentence because of his pain and suffering. Yes, Ahmad Rahimi, the terrorist responsible for the New York City bombing in 2016, wants a reduced prison sentence for the pain and suffering he has faced. The bomber's attorney asked prosecutors, can you imagine being a lawyer that would even defend this person? Asked prosecutors to consider his mental and physical health as part of a plea agreement, arguing that his pain should be considered equally to the victims he injured and tried to kill. Federal court documents show that the lawyers defending the terrorist argue that because police shot him 11 times, he has experienced brain injuries, limited longevity, and or post-traumatic stress disorder. And this is exactly like the guy that kills both of his parents, and when he goes to trial, he says, have mercy on me, I'm an orphan, right? That's exactly what's going on here. Crazy, absolutely insane. From Breitbart. This is from Hawaii, so we'll say this is Aloha Akbar. Hawaii lawyer, Trump executive order violates the First Amendment because honor killings are Islamic. Can you imagine that? The lawyer representing the state of Hawaii in the United States Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit Court has stated the collection of data with regards to honor killings should be removed from President Trump's executive order in order to pass constitutional muster. In his arguments, Neil Katyal stated that the collection of such data as outlined by the executive order 13780 contravenes the Establishment Clause in the First Amendment of the Constitution of the United States. people kill their wives, they dismember them, they pour acid on their face. And he said, we want this reported as to what's going on in this nation. And this lawyer here is saying that that is unconstitutional, that you can report what these animals, these violent animals, are doing to women. Now, if it was any other issue, any other woman issue on the planet, they would be behind it. But because it involves something that our president has done, which is morally right, they want to work against it. It says, in doing so, Katyal appears to be making the case that honor killings, murder committed in the name of restoring a family's dignity following discouraged behavior within fundamental Islamist homes, is in itself Islamic. There you go. Aloha Akbar. From Breitbart, second round of Somalis deported from the United States. Good job. Immigration officials deported a second round of Somali illegal immigrants who had been living in the United States along with a few Kenyan foreign nationals. Officials deported a total of 77 illegal immigrants to Somalia this month. Of the 77 illegal immigrants, 72 were Somali foreign nationals, while 5 of the illegal immigrants were from Kenya. They're not undocumented aliens. They are illegal immigrants. An unnamed official told group of illegal immigrants were deported generally because of their immigration status. No problem. You want to come here legally? I will be happy to, you know, give you a job at my house, mowing or whatever you want to do. But if you come here illegally, you shouldn't be here at all. No government benefits, no health care, no nothing. Get them out. So from Mongolia today, this is a good one. Channel News Asia. Philippines Duarte says Turkey, Mongolia could join ASEAN. You know what ASEAN is? Is the Alliance of Southeast Asian Nations. He's saying that Mongolia has a chance to join ASEAN. And it's not even in Southeast Asia. So anyway, Philippine President Duarte said he would push for the inclusion of Turkey and Mongolia in a grouping of Southeast Asian nations, dismissing concerns about their geographic location. Duarte said leaders of Turkey and Mongolia told him about their desire to join the ASEAN while they were in China over the weekend for a summit on global trade infrastructure project. Duarte, whose nation holds the rotating ASEAN chairmanship this year, held separate meetings with Turkish President Erdogan and Mongolian Prime Minister Erdenbat on the sidelines of the summit. They want to join ASEAN, and since I'm now the chair, the Philippines is, they wanted me to sponsor their entry, and I said, yes, why not? The 10-member ASEAN groups are Brunei, Cambodia, Indonesia, Laos, Malaysia, Myanmar, Philippines, Singapore, Thailand, and Vietnam. Geographic location is the first criterion for ASEAN membership, along with recognition by all other members. So we'll see where that goes. I think it's kind of curious that he would even breach that, but we'll see if it actually happens. Daniel 12, technology for today. Mail online. Meet the BridgeBot. BridgeBot. Robot inspector can see inside structures to check for corrosion and damage. It's called Seeker Junior. It's able to check bridge decks for corrosion with 96% accuracy. Radars and sensors, it just drives around and looks to see corrosion inside, and cameras to pick up visual cracks. It presents data of the corrosion levels using colors. Blue is low and red is high. This is something when I was in Malaysia, we had what was called the PDM and CCIP programs on the C-130 aircraft that were flying in and out of Operation Desert Storm. And they would take X-rays, and they would X-ray everything on that aircraft. And if there were any hairline cracks, then they would take off the wing and replace it, or they would fix that or pull it off. And this is kind of the same idea. This little robot just goes around and X-rays bridges. And I sent this to my friend who I grew up with here in Sarasota. He is now one of the leading engineers in Massachusetts for the Massachusetts. He builds bridges, and he then has to maintain those bridges as long as they're around. And he said he would love to have one of these. I sent it to him. He said, wow, that's a great idea. So we'll see if he actually gets it. Let's see here. Mail online. This is kind of a moving subject here. Colonoscopy capsule robot could make the diagnosis of bowel conditions more comfortable. I know if you've had one of these, then, okay, experts have developed an 18-millimeter magnetized capsule colonoscope. It shown it can perform intricate movements inside the colon for the first time. The capsule robot could be used to provide more comfortable colonoscopies. And what it is, you swallow a magnet with a picture, a little camera on it, and then they have a magnet thing that pulls it through your body, and it can turn it around to the left and right. And yeah, and so it's much less invasive than what we've had in the past. So there you go, Mail Online. The self-driving robot chauffeur that can fit in a suitcase. You take along your chauffeur. If you don't feel like driving to Massachusetts, you unfold him and you put him in your car. It's serious. It's an AI machine could make any vehicle autonomous. The driving robot relies on various cameras, sensors, and mechanical devices. Robot weighs only 33 pounds, but the team is working on making it lighter. Using highly sophisticated algorithms, the robot is designed to drive any car. And I would love to give this to my wife so that she wouldn't drive to work. I won't say any more than that, but Mail Online, glad she's not here today. Mail Online, justice by algorithm. AI predicts the results of Supreme Court trials better than a human. Okay, artificial intelligence. The algorithm analyzed the U.S. Supreme Court database from 1791 to 2015. It accurately predicted the outcomes of 70.2% of the court's 28,000 decisions. This is higher accuracy than which can be expected from humans, who will often try to predict outcomes. And so that's pretty amazing that they have a computer that can now figure these things out for you. Revelation plagues today. I'm going to add something into the video that you aren't going to see, but I had completely forgotten that I had done this video. I did it years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, about how to throw a cast net in case the economy ever collapsed, and then you could go out and throw a cast net and catch fish. Well, somebody commented on it on my old YouTube channel, which I don't use. It's just where I store stuff on that YouTube channel. Anyway, somebody commented on it, and I remembered, oh, I've got this CastNet video. So I'm going to include that video for anybody that watches the Prophecy Update, and I made it fun. It's kind of an enjoyable 2 minutes of video.
Hey, it's Charlie, and this is a series on the total economic collapse, and I'd like to call this the Total Economic Collapse Protection Demonstration, or TECPD. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, what I'm going to show you today is how to throw a cast net so that when the food isn't available at the store, you can go catch your own food, feed your wife, feed your children, feed grandma or whoever else. So what you're going to do is you're going to start out with the cast net and put it around your hand. Then I want you to make little loops, about a foot loops, no bigger because they'll get caught in the net, right? See, watch this. See that? Okay. Keep making loops all the way down to the net. And then what I want you to do is I want you to get the neck of the net. And I want you to put it in the same hand. If you're right-handed, put it in your right hand. If you're left-handed, put it all in your left hand. And after that, you're going to go about half, maybe a little more than halfway down the net and grab everything once again, all in the same hand. Now to make sure you don't have any tangles in your lead at the bottom, kind of shake it out, make sure there's no tangles, and throw it away from you one or two times like that. Okay? And then you take the net and you turn it towards you. All right, I got my hand in it. I turn it towards me and I put the string, not the lead. Lead is poisonous. Put the string in your mouth. You walk out on the dock and throw the net. And there you go. Perfect throw every time. Got a perfect circle out of that baby. And if you're really fortunate, you might even catch a fish, you know. But even if you don't, you just take your time, and you're bound to catch something one of these days. But see, today we did catch a fish. We got ourselves a mullet. Mullet are kind of cruddy fish, but they're really good if you smoke them. So anyway, I'll show you one more thing before we go, and then I'm going to cut up my mullet and feed my wife and my children and my grandmother and all that. The next video that I'm going to do is the 22 Ruger. Look, Ma, there's dinner. Shoot it. Have a great day.
From CBS, Lyme disease experts say this could be a particularly bad year. Now, I said that, what, 3 months ago? I highlighted that. It took CBS all this time. Somebody got up and they watched the Prophecy Update and they said, we better report that. So, okay, from Sill Live. What's that? Oh, Staten Island Live. Yes. Ticks spreading rare virus much worse than Lyme disease. So this is something new, yeah. Experts are advising nature goers to be wary of a rare virus, which could be far more devastating than Lyme disease being spread by ticks. It's called Powassan virus. Anybody heard of this? Very serious stuff here. A rare and more deadly pathogen than the bacterium that produces Lyme disease is also spread through deer ticks. The virus can cause inflammation of the brain, leading to death in 10% of cases and permanent disability in 50% of the cases. Because Powassan has recently spread to deer ticks, a variety of ticks more likely to bite humans, there is a chance we could see a widespread outbreak in the coming years. Of the 75 reported cases, 16 have taken place in New York, tied for the second most of any state. According to the CDC, signs and symptoms of infection can include fever, headache, vomiting, weakness, confusion, seizures, and memory loss. They also advise that long-term neurological problems may occur. So watch out for that. If you have friends that are up north, you might tell them about that. From Yahoo, hepatitis C nearly triples in U.S. in 5 years. Now remember, in 5 years, that's our previous president. There has been a complete breakdown of our society. There is hopelessness because, you know, they're still going along with this. They're saying that the jobless rate is lower than ever before, and they're crediting that to Trump. Now, it's not. It is higher than it has ever been. The people that are not in the they're no longer counted on the rolls of receiving your benefits. They're just dropped out of the workforce, the labor workforce. So we have a very, very high rate of people not working. And that is because of our previous president. Our current president will be working to get that straightened out. But it's because of what he's done that hepatitis C has just blossomed in this nation. Here's what it says. The bloodborne virus is transmitted by injection drug use, dirty needles, blood transfusions, and sex. Chronic infection can lead to cirrhosis or cancer of the liver. Hepatitis C is the top infectious disease killer in the nation, taking nearly 20,000 lives in 2015. Now, remember, I've done all of these opioid updates lately because it's become such a problem because of the hopeless situation of people in this country. And this is a result of that. Experts say that the rise of the opioid epidemic, with increasing numbers of people sharing needles to inject heroin and prescription painkillers, is driving the increase in cases. New hepatitis C virus infections are increasing more rapidly among young people, with the highest overall number of new infections among 20 to 29-year-olds, who are the ones who have mostly lost the jobs in the past 8 years. All right, morality. I call this one the pervert patrol, okay? Yahoo! Argentina's first transgender police chief on duty. Now, listen to what they've done. Listen to what they've done in Argentina. Nearly a decade after psychiatric reports said that Analia Pasatino suffered from irreconcilable illness made her unfit to serve. This guy was in the police force. And they said, this is a lunatic. Get him out of here, right? So now this person has taken over the police force in Argentina. Can you imagine this? That's why I'm calling it the pervert patrol. It says she was welcomed back to the police force this week and appointed deputy police commissioner in the Judicial Communications Department. This is a milestone. I'm the first transgender police chief in Latin America. It's an unprecedented and important step to show Latin America and the world that we are an open institution. Pasatino said she was forced to take leave of absence from the police department after coming out as a transgender woman in 2008. Every 3 months, she would present a psychiatric evaluation hoping to rejoin the force, but a committee reviewing her case repeatedly extended her leave. She's insane. We don't want her. And now she's in charge of other people. Wow. Mail Online. Police force. This is in the United Kingdom. Police force ditches traditional Bobby's helmets, you know, the nice helmets they've worn for eons, okay, for U.S.-style baseball caps to encourage the non-binary transgender community to join up. We want to have a pervert patrol, so we're changing the hats for people. It's insane, right? Northamptonshire Police is handing out black baseball caps to its officers. They say the new headgear is more comfortable and more practical for police. The move is also designed to get rid of gender-based headgear currently used. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine what's going on in the world? Our other category from CBN. This is no surprise at all. This is no surprise at all. Anybody that is surprised by this, I'll be surprised. New Israeli research reveals that men are men and women are women. Yeah. Oh, she's astonished. A study by Israeli researchers found that a man cannot become a woman by simply identifying as one, and vice versa. Geneticists from Israel's Weizmann Institute of Science discovered certain genes that are only expressed in women, while others are only expressed in men. Professor Shmuel Pietrakovsky and Dr. Moran Gershoni studied 20,000 genes, sorting them by sex, and searching for differences in expression in each tissue. They eventually found around 6,500 genes with activity that are based toward one sex or the other in at least one tissue, adding to the already major biological differences between men and women. Some of the biggest differences were in genes responsible for body hair, fat storage, muscle building, and milk production for breastfeeding. The researchers are also found that biological sex also plays a role in preventing specific illnesses. I'm sure this is going to make CNN and NBC, and it's going to make all of the news services. It says, for example, some genes expressed only in the left ventricle of the heart in women to protect their hearts from disease until the women reach menopause. Did you know that? Another gene in the liver processes drugs differently according to the gender. Essentially, their research means that more than 21% of the entire human genome, which is comprised of about 30,000 genes, are based on sex. Something a sex change operation and hormones cannot replace. It won't fix it. Exactly. Now, isn't that shocking? Are you debilitated over hearing that? All right, Popular Mechanics. This is a rather interesting article. It'll be our last of the day, and it's something that is just a bit scary. Will Russia's next tank fire radioactive nuclear shells? Russia's next generation tank may become nuclear. Now, this is a tank. This is not a good idea. We had artillery weapons in the 50s and 60s that can shoot tactical nuclear weapons, okay? As a matter of fact, you go online, you can see them actually shooting it and the thing blowing up. But having a tank with this is a really, really bad idea. But we'll go on. Russia's next generation tank may become nuclear capable. That's according to The Diplomat. The maker of the T-14 Armata, their newest great tank, it's the Uralvagonazavodad something, plans to upgun the Armata with a new 2A83 152mm gun and also to develop a tactical nuclear shell for it. The gun upgrade has been a stated goal for years now, but a nuclear shell is a new and dangerous development. The explosive yield of the shell is unknown, but it would have to be small enough to not threaten friendly forces. The current Armata tank gun, the 2A82 125mm gun, has a maximum effective range of only 4.3 miles. The larger 152mm gun would have a longer range, say, up to 5 miles. To be useful without destroying friendly forces, such a nuclear round would probably be sub-kiloton in explosive yield. Let's use a 500-ton weapon as an example. Has anybody heard this? No. Well, this is why you watch the Prophecy Update. Let's see here. It says a 500-ton yield nuclear shell would create a fireball 400 feet wide and damage tanks and armored vehicles another 1,100 feet in all directions. Personnel exposed to the blast would receive third-degree burns at distances of up to 1,300 feet, and at 2,400 feet, 50% to 90% would receive lethal levels of radiation. This is a bad idea for several reasons. For one, it would make armies more likely to use battlefield nuclear weapons, which could easily escalate to all-out nuclear warfare. Second, unless the safety practices are put in place, such as withholding arming codes until the last possible minute, just think of, you know, private to whatever out there wanting to blow somebody up and saying, let's throw one of the nukes in there, right? So now if they're regulated by codes, then they have to wait till the last moment to shoot it off. Well, guess what? They're in a tank battle. Bad news. It says that may not be practical. The tank gun nukes could be used without authorization. It may not be practical as the speed of an enemy attack may render waiting for permission to use the nuclear rounds impossible. And if the tank carrying these weapons suffers catastrophic damage, that is, if it blows up, the explosion could release a plume of deadly radioactive plutonium that would contaminate the battlefield and friendly forces. Is there any truth to these reports? Russia has plenty of tactical nuclear weapons, and it seems unlikely that it would bother to develop an entirely new one. That having been said, there are no technical obstacles to a nuclear tank round. It's not an impossible idea, just a very bad one. Okay? Wow. A scary world we're living in. Got a Lesserick for you this week. We'll see if you can guess which article this is on. Seems some doctors are sorting the genes to determine just how a sex leans. Boys are boys, girls are girls. Only one wears the curls. Kings are still kings, and queens are just queens. There you go. Mail online, I got a couple ironies of the week for you. Poor guy. I've seen this happen twice in the past year. Rider mistakenly celebrated winning cycle race one lap too early before going out to finish 148th. Poor guy. And from Weasel Zippers, now you have to understand the context of this. In 1991, our former president wrote a Harvard essay, which has been dug up. Obama once said that the American dream is to be Donald Trump. Yes! Yeah, in that, yes. Now tell me, that's not ironic. Wow. Okay, so such is the world we live in. So from Sarasota, Florida to Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, and Eureka, California, I'm Charlie Garrett. This is The Superior Word, and that is your Prophecy Update for the week.